Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Pisgah Podcast.
We are your hosts. I'm Drew, that's Mangler, and you're listening to Pisgah. We're coming to you live from the gear inspection table at the Pinbar start line.
Make sure I have my outbound light.
Got to have your light, got to have your emergency blanket, and all kinds of fun things. So let's jump into these news and updates so we can get to the subject matter at hand.
Yes. So there's some kind of bummer news from those aspiring to have a pathway to the top level of enduro racing. The UCI, which has taken over the Enduro World Series now, or the EDR, if you will, has announced that only pre-qualified riders or riders that acquire enough global ranking points by placing well enough in their UCI race series, which has no North or South American dates this season, will be qualified to race in the EDR. So prior to this announcement, the Eastern States Cup was listed as a pathway to qualification, but just this past week was told it was no longer. So that's kind of a bummer to hear for, you know, those wanting to have a good pathway to that upper echelon of enduro racing.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things in mind about that I'm going to hold back for right now. But I'm going to say that I hope the silver lining will be that the level of racing for series like the Eastern States Cup, Big Mountain Enduro, Enduro Southeast, etc., will rise because you're going to have your local heroes participating. And then also you've got your completely unsanctioned races like, I don't know, the Pisgah Enduro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where people like you or I who are going to race against our peers and I have to worry about some of these EDR racers coming in and smashing our faces in.
Yep, that is a good way to look at it. But, you know, our dude Max Beaupré is pre-qualified for the EDR, so we get to cheer him on, and he's our local homie, so we got that going for us.
And Enduro Southeast posted up their race dates and locations. Most all of the races are fall dates as to not interfere with other race schedules as much as possible, like the Eastern States Cup and the Go Nuts Racing Series. They'll have a preseason race on February 19th at Ride Canoga. That will be a non-series race. And then in the fall, September 10th will be the Rock Crusher Enduro out in Young Harris, Georgia. October 15th at The Holler. And November 5th back at Canoga to finish off the season.
Right on. And Epic Cycles of Black Mountain, they have taken over the bicycle shop in Hendersonville, and it will become Epic Cycles Hendersonville. You know, I was bummed that the bicycle shop was closing up, but happy to know the shop will still carry on and will still have an independent bike shop down here in the Hendo Zone.
That is excellent news. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So the Rumble in Richmond has announced a 2023 date. If you want to support Drop-In Coffee, kids getting bike helmets and a really, really sick time watching BMX bikes shred a jump, then head up to Richmond, Virginia for the weekend of June 17th. That Saturday will be the dirt jump contest, and then Sunday will be a flat pedal pro-am race. You can find more on this event at richmondbmx.com.
Yeah, that's a friend of the podcast, Steve Crandall from FBM Bike Company, puts on that event every year. I believe this is its third year, and maybe we can make it up for the next one. But Drop-In Coffee has their Rad Share blend, which gives a kid a bike helmet with every bag of coffee purchased. Pretty awesome. So this event is to help promote that. So very cool. We're definitely going to support that.
Yeah, the gang up there has an excellent scene. They're doing really cool stuff. For it being a very urban area with mountain bike trails.
Yeah, very cool.
And also, they're within striking distance of a lot of other excellent riding areas along the I-81 corridor. So hats off to those dudes.
Oh, yeah.
So in the news last week, Pisgah View Ranch, that will be Buncombe County's first state park, has closed on 230 more acres. This gives the project about 1,600 total acres. The park isn't open to the public yet, and it probably won't be until 2025, but the master plan for the park is in development, and we're going to keep you guys tuned to any happenings surrounding the planning of this park and how mountain biking might be incorporated into its land usage.
And that's a prime area for some good mountain biking. So hopefully we see some progress with that. Read the press release slash article that was in Citizen Times, and I believe mountain biking was mentioned in there, like multi-use trails. So the topography looks good looking at some of the maps, so it could be something cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's been in the works for a while, and projects like this don't move fast, so we want to make sure we do it right the first time. I don't mind if they take their time getting it done as long as it's done right.
Absolutely. And we are still working on the YouTube page, adding past episodes as we go. So it's funny, I've actually noticed a few episodes where I've left some dead air after the interviews before our comebacks. So yeah, my bad on that. So sorry. But they're fixed on the YouTube, so go give them another listen. Smash those like buttons, subscribe, leave a good comment, etc.
That's right. Well, we reported in the last episode that Pisgah Productions announced that they were joining the G5 Collective under the Camp Greer umbrella. And, well, I caught up with the proprietor of Pisgah Productions, Eric Weber, for the details on that and to talk the King and Queen of Pisgah series for 2023. Yeah, just for a sound check, what did you have for breakfast today?
What did I have for breakfast today? Here, I'll tell you something else for a sound check. My parents owned a radio station when I was a kid. And so this is bizarre thinking about. It is bringing flashbacks. They owned a country radio station, WYVA.
Where was that at?
Yorktown, Virginia.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's super neat.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump right into it. Eric Weber, thank you for joining me on the Pisgah podcast.
Thanks for having me, Drew. I'm Eric Weber, and I'm the race director and event creator at Pisgah Productions. I've been in the Asheville area since the fall of 2000. You know, I've been loving it here ever since.
So when you moved here, was mountain biking already part of your ritual as it was, or did Asheville make that happen for you?
When I was a kid, I was really into BMX, freestyle BMX, half pipes and stuff like that in particular. Mm-hmm. And after a stint in the Air Force, I found mountain biking in the mid 90s. And then I moved to Charlotte after the Air Force, and I was doing okay at cross country racing. Really not very well at all, actually. But I still love going.
Yeah.
And, you know, really love the community and everything. And that community that I found in Charlotte, you know, just led me to Asheville and led me to Pisgah.
At that time, 2000, we had a completely different landscape here than what we have now. And it's all just kind of bloomed out of kind of the same thing, right? So, you know, at the time, we DuPont was about to happen. And mm-hmm. We had some pretty common rides in Pisgah.
Yeah.
But how did the community and the scene feel at that point in time for you?
Well, you know, it was pretty small, but the Charlotte community, they seemed to really know the Wilson's Creek area, and so I went up there a whole bunch with Dickie and Bill Fair and lots of really great people, but you were hard pressed to find another mountain biker out there at the time, mm-hmm. and then a job that I had in Charlotte, actually, I was able to transfer to Asheville. So after I found out that was going to happen, I started coming to the Pisgah side a bit more often, trying to figure out, you know, if it was worth moving up here. And of course it was, but, you know, still the scene, you know, late 90s and year 2000, it was just a lot smaller. And, you know, like you were saying, the terrain was even different in some ways, and that, like, there were no Carsonite signs yet. You had to follow books that may or may not have accurate information, you know, mm-hmm. based on how old they were. Maps were the same way. There was a pretty good National Geographic map, but it was nothing like the Pisgah Map Company map
right.
that we've got now. And so, again, yeah, the scene was a whole lot smaller, and it was a whole lot harder to move around in the woods unless you had a guide or you were really confident with your skills.
Yeah, for certain. I always felt like I had to be with people that knew it. People that know me will laugh at this, but I'm really easily lost. Give me 3 turns and 200 yards into any trailhead, and I've lost my cardinal direction.
Right.
So even though, you know, it seems logical, follow the hill back down, find the creek, you know, all the orienteering things that we should know, I was always the worst at.
Right.
But yeah, so at that time, trying to think the early 2000s when this was all taken off, it wasn't much longer after that that you actually started putting some of these events on, right?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. 2003 was the first Pisgah Mountain Bike Adventure Race, PMBAR. And yeah, and that came about because the group that I'd fallen in with here, Bill Grabowski, Mark Gelino, a bunch of those guys mm-hmm. were doing 6-7 hour rides. And I was hopping on with them. And, you know, with my job background, which was in hospitality, I had the idea of brewing for an event for, you know, a really long time, because I wasn't really successful in racing, but I really wanted to still be around the scene, you know? I liked the people, but I was finding less and less reasons to go. I was just spending a lot of money and mm-hmm. getting 50% of my class every time, you know? Right. And with just that in mind, like, how do I not lose this racing community? And I realized that I could probably just pull it off, you know? Mm-hmm. And going on those big rides, you know, there were gatherings. There was, you know, there were big campouts afterwards sometimes. You know, there were just really, really long days in the saddle that, and I wanted to kind of emulate that in an event, you know? It didn't necessarily need to be all about, you know, high-speed racing, but more recreating that group ride experience. That was the first thing that I really had in mind. I wanted to do something along those lines. And then adventure racing was also on my radar at the time. And there was just a eureka moment over beers one night where, like, this is the event. You know, it just came out of thin air, you know. And I just decided to do it. You know, just move forward. Go ask the Forest Service if we could.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
At the time, I mean, events-wise, in the Southeast at least, there wasn't a ton of endurance-style events. We had the mm-hmm. Cane Creek Cup. We had the Norba-style, like, cross-country racing. Mm-hmm. I guess at the time we had, like, the 24 Hours Burn.
Right.
And stuff like that.
But O-Ram and Swank were in their early stages then.
Right, they mm-hmm. were. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, it felt like, you know, I always wondered if the scene created the event or if the event created the scene, because I didn't come on to that style of racing. I was still very much into cross country Norba style racing at that point in time and still very new to mountain biking, also coming from BMX background. Mm-hmm. But it always seemed like the dudes that were into these endurance events were like, they were cool. You know, they weren't like the dudes at a Norba style race where, you know, they're standing around waiting for the award ceremony, like right. tapping their foot so they could just grab their medal and go home.
Right.
People hung out and camped and, you know, made a weekend of going to these things.
That's, well then, yeah, exactly. And, you know, so I think that the community did, you know, create the event because it was, how do I recreate this feeling when I'm, you know, following behind some of these guys deep in the woods? I don't know when I'm going to get out, but not in that Norba race sense. I'd already found out I wasn't very good at that, mm-hmm. you know? And so recreating these group rides that, you know, like you said, that end in campouts or just hanging out afterwards, making it a real community feel, rather than, you know, a horse race.
Commiserating with your fellow competitors about the misery you just went through.
Exactly. That's exactly what I hope for. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I love that though, because the thing that also occurs to me about these style of like adventure races, and even though they're a more calculated race, like the 111 or 55, it's still a long day in the woods, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All you really, I mean, you can be towards the very back of the pack and still be very competitive against your previous experience that you had,
right.
or against your bar buddy that you work with or something, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, you dared each other to do an event like this. So you don't have to go out there and try to win to still have, you know, the most accomplished feeling you could possibly have for the day.
Right.
As to where if it's a, you know, it's a Norba style race again, or like I guess now what they call XCO in the UCI terms. You know, if you're not on the wide angle 1-5 podium, then who cares, right?
Right. Yeah.
So what you did, the first one of these was Pisgah Mountain Bike Adventure Race, mm-hmm. correct, in 2003.
Right.
So That's going to make this the 20th anniversary this year.
Yeah, that's right. We had to skip one because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, add them up. Yeah.
But dates are dates.
That's true. So yeah. It's been 20 years.
What has changed about that? I consider that to be your marquee event.
Yeah.
So how has that evolved from, you know, first, middle to now, so to speak?
The rules have become refined. You know, in the early days, people were trying to figure out how to work around the rules. And so there's, you know, certain rules are in place for certain reasons. But then beyond that, you know, the real thing that surprised me was, you know, I was trying to create this event that was, you know, built for my liking. And then the fast guys started to show up.
And the jocks come and ruin it.
Well, no, it's not that they ruin it. It's this completely different. Yeah, yeah. I was amazed, you know, that people were coming and, you know, and taking it really seriously, because it was just a hobby for me. And I was just trying to, you know, have some fun, get people out to have an experience similar to what I was doing, you mm-hmm. know, and challenging people to do that is a pretty good way. But, you know, having those really, really fast guys show up, that was a change. And then I've learned how far away things are in the forest now, you know, and so it's easier to plan next year's event. Well, not easier, but I know what mistakes I've made with courses in the past. Mm-hmm. And so I know not to make those again.
Right.
You know, and I don't know, course refinement, rules refinement, fast guys, those are all things that have changed. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Let me ask you one thing about the rules. I mean, you get your passport mm-hmm. and it shows you places you can't go.
Right.
Have you ever caught anybody cheating?
No, not blatantly cheating. There have definitely been people that have shown up to a checkpoint coming from the wrong direction, but they weren't trying, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't trying.
Accidentally.
Right.
Yeah, I got that.
And if other people have gotten away with it, I don't want to know about it.
Fair. Totally fair. And so let's just expand on that for a minute. So, you know, Pinbar being this marquee event, it's been, you know, kind of what you'd have to complete that to be invited to some of your other events, right?
In the beginning, yeah, there was, we had an event called the Double Dare, and it was a 2-day version of Pinbar. And you had to finish Pinbar to be able to get into that. And we had another one called the Pisgah 36, and you had to come, I believe you had to complete Pinbar for that one as well. Mm-hmm. But both of those are events, they're not around any longer. So.
Right. I respect the fact that you have to have completed Pinbar to do either of those, because it'd be highly irresponsible.
Oh, yeah. Pisgah 36. It was...
go ahead and tell everybody what their original names were, since they're no longer...
The Pisgah 36 original name was The Most Horrible Thing Ever. And it was six stages that each took an average of 6 hours apiece to complete, and you had 36 hours to do it. It started at midnight on Friday night and went straight through until noon on Sunday, and so that's your 36 hours. But since each stage takes 6 hours average, there's zero time to sleep. And then along the way, people had to climb Farlow to start in February at midnight. You know, first stage could often, you know, we had one team out for over 12 hours for the very first stage, just because they were in, even though they had completed Pinbar, they were still in over their heads.
And I just have to interject here and say that these people came back for more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, if we had a venue, we would still be doing it.
Uh-huh. Can you talk about any epic moments or epic participants from those events?
Well, let's see. Gosh, the longer adventure races, the guys that came in at the very, very last instant of available, you know, because there was a cutoff at midnight, those guys that coming in minutes before the final cutoff, that is always amazing, because they were pushing for so long, you know. A favorite Pinbar moment, there were two teams. They left at the start, and you know, with Pinbar, you have to reach 4 out of 5 checkpoints in any order and then return to the start finish. The two teams went out and did the routes. One went clockwise and one went counterclockwise, getting all the same checkpoints and in the same order, essentially, but just going the opposite direction, or, you know, in reverse order. And they got back around to the start finish within 90 seconds of each other, 70 mile day. And you take two groups of two people in Pisgah and you tell them to go opposite directions on a course that they could get back around in 90 seconds of one another. That was amazing. That's real racing.
That's cosmic timing there.
Right. They saw, they didn't know where the other team was. They were chasing ghosts, thinking that they were ahead somehow. And then at the halfway point, they crossed. And they knew exactly what was going on.
Uh-huh. So that's when they got the picture of how the rest of their day is going to unfold.
Right.
On both sides.
Exactly right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because then they knew that they weren't going to see that other team again.
Yeah.
And they're the ones they were racing.
And that's when you get your physical exhaustion. Now you just entered mental exhaustion because you're thinking about that now for another 35 or so miles, huh?
Right, right.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, and still the mid-pack people, they come back to me with, just stars in their eyes and just great stories, from being out there, stories of camaraderie and stories of just making it back. Yeah. A lot of times, and they are so excited, and they're just countless stories from all the guys in the middle too. Mm-hmm.
I've only got one pin bar story because I only played the game one time, broke my chain about 500 yards into going up black.
Oh no!
Luckily, I had a bike that had a shuttle dropout, so I could single speed it, but it just didn't quite play with my chain line, so I kept dropping the chain as I was going up black. Thought it'd be a great idea to cut down Turkey Pin, which we hiked the entire time.
Right.
Also got the worst poison ivy of my life because of that, and just coasted back down 280. And didn't make one checkpoint.
Yeah, all of those possibilities are laid out right there on their website too. Stinging plants, inoperable equipment, expect it all.
Meanwhile, my friend who continued on with his teammate ate a gel. Probably at the farthest point away, somewhere around Trace Ridge, and looked at the wrapper and realized that it said it is processed in a facility that also processes shellfish, and then realized he has a shellfish allergy.
And that'll change your day too.
Had to look back, yeah. So at some point you started introducing other events, aside from the most horrible thing ever. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and 2011, I was approached by Jeff Papenfuss regarding doing a long race. He wanted to do a 100-mile event in Pisgah. And he was coming to me, for guidance with the Forest Service and on courses and things like that. And we were working together. And tragically, he passed away of a heart attack training for an adventure race.
Wow.
And so just kept going with the permit process and everything. It was totally out of my wheelhouse. It was the first of the Follow the Arrows events, again, just completely new to me. But again, we went forward with it and we were able to give a donation to his widow of, I think it was $9,000 afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And so it sold out the first year and, people seemed to really enjoy it, and so I was happy to be able to follow through with creating the thing that it seemed like he had, it seemed to be partly his, seemed to be his vision,
For sure.
Thankfully, I'd convinced him to go down to 100K instead of 100 miles because the 111 kilometers is far enough. We're getting winning times of 7 hours.
Yeah.
So
Pisgah miles aren't like normal miles.
No,
not by any means.
No. And then that really just opened the doors to all sorts of Follow the Arrow events, and at the time I was riding gravel bikes a lot. And so figured out the Pisgah Monster Cross course. And just like with Pinbar, I had the idea, just pitch it. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they'll let me do it. And they sure enough did. So that's been going on too, since 2012. Both of those races started right about the same time. Enduro racing was, just taking off across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a friend with the timing system for that. And so it was, an easy thing to give it a shot, again, just might as well ask. And then at that point, once that was all going, this is no longer a hobby. This was becoming real work. By 2014, I was no longer in the hospitality industry and just, working in Pisgah Productions full time, or as full time as I could.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. So when you start doing like what you just called a Follow the Arrow events, I think one thing that I like to differentiate between, you know, you got the same type of participants when you have an endurance event in general. Mm-hmm. Somebody that is fit and adept at, you know, what their body needs to do for the day. The thing that I still love the most about the adventure race is, you know, you got a brains aspect to it and Absolutely. Not just a brawn
right.
aspect to right. it. And I guess just to jump back to that before we move on, I mean, there's been a cast of characters over the years.
Yeah, definitely so.
And a lot of like regulars too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, early on, again, that Charlotte crew was, well, early on, you know, like I was saying, I was riding with those guys that I discovered up here, Bill Grabowski and all those guys, and then Dickie and Bill, and the Charlotte crew was coming up, all the nickname guys, mm-hmm. Eric Van Driver, the dude, Mumbles, you know, yeah. all those guys, Stabby. and then at the time, BioWheels was the big shop in town that I was going to, at least, and a lot of guys from there, they started coming too. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown in particular, Mike Ricciatelli. And they were that first 10 years backbone, yeah, like repeat customers. They just kept coming back again and again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Same with, you know, people that were volunteers and course marshals too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got, you know, that core crew that I've got, you know, a lot of them have been around for at least a decade now.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. That's the thing I like most about these style events. I mean, there's so much sterile racing, and that's awesome. And I also follow that religiously. I mean, like you said, you know, once you realize you're not that great at cross-country racing, you still like to be part of the community. Right. That's why I ventured into even doing this podcast. Yeah. Covering races has kind of been one of the things that was on my original vision board for this. And, you know, now we video a downhill series as a side project, and I do announcing at mountain bike races, and I just like being at the place. But when you see the same, or when you can rely on seeing the same people mm-hmm. at the event, you just kind of feel like, you know, things feel normal. You feel
right.
You feel right when you're there.
Yep.
So Eric, in the news this week, we saw the press release that Pisgah Productions joins Tanawa Adventures and G5 under the Camp Greer organization.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm really excited about that.
Congratulations.
Certain. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. So I guess, how did that come about, and how is that going to affect the future of the King and Queen of Pisgah series?
Yeah, well, it came about, Camp Greer has been the venue for the Pisgah Enduro since almost the very beginning, and they were also dealing, or they were also hosting as a hosting venue for Tanawa Adventures, who's run by Brandon Thrower. And his events, he had this crazy idea where he was giving away almost all of the proceeds from all of his events back to the trails. He really was, you know, giving almost everything back and going to the Foothills Conservancy and other organizations like that, just giving back to the trails. And Jason over at Camp Greer saw that he was doing that and saw an opportunity to form G5, which is a nonprofit under the Camp Greer umbrella. And it's just as a way to better the fundraising efforts. So G5 is an advocacy group that focus on trail building efforts, and they can raise capital. They attend planning meetings. They have a volunteer pool. They're just doing great, great things. They can put boots on the ground after they finally, you know, they raise the money for the trails, and they can actually put boots on the ground. And they invited me to become a part of that organization to have more events giving in to the funds. And it was a really easy thing for me to do, because being a part of G5, it really allows me to really become much more efficient, and it allows for the racers' entry, more of the racers' entry fees to go to, you know, trail building efforts, or, you know, any type of, you know, before we were giving to the Asheville Humane Society, and we've given to a few other organizations in the past, but now the money is going to be able to be pooled with this organization and be able to go a lot further. And, you know, really, I've got a business manager and a marketing professional, volunteer coordinator, and it really is just allowing me to focus more on the events again, rather than all of the rest of that stuff that, you know, can really be tough, you know?
I think that's a great opportunity also for their, you know, the people that you just mentioned, you know, their marketing people and stuff like that, because now they get to interact with the community that they're marketing to. And
right.
It takes that off your plate. It sounds like that gives you and Brandon a good chance to stretch your wings a little bit and be more productive at the parts of it that you got into it for in the first place, right?
Right, actually. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now Brandon's getting a paycheck too, rather than just giving away all of his money.
Good for him. He deserves it. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. I
mean, these things 100%. Are not easy. And even though it might start as a passion project, at some point you have to make a living.
Right.
You got, you know, the things aren't free.
Right, exactly right. I guess one last thing, you know, really being a part of Camp Greer and the G5 Collective in Tonawa it's really just a much more sustainable business model for me. And I still have 100% creative control over the events. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to tell me where to put a pin bar checkpoint, you know, or anything like that. So I still have that control, but it's a much, much more sound business model. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's totally fair. If they stifled what you were doing, A, right. I don't think you would be interested, but B, also the event wouldn't be the same. And
exactly
we've just
right.
talked about the nostalgia of the building of these events for the, you know, first half of this interview so far. So, you know, it would be a mistake if they did try to, you know,
right.
stomp on any of that. So I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks.
And this year, the 2023 King and Queen of Pisgah dates and event details.
We're really excited to be bringing back the King of Pisgah series. And the Hub and Pisgah Tavern and Brevard is graciously donating a substantial cash prize for the King and Queen of Pisgah. And, you know, the podiums, they get cash prizes and a belt buckle. And the King of Pisgah this year is going to have five events.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have Bootlegger, Pin Bar, and then the Enduro, Monster Cross, and the 111. And so you have to complete all five events to be eligible for the series. And you get points based on your overall ranking, not your division ranking, in the event. And then we add it all up at the end of the year.
Very cool.
Yeah. The podium for the King of Pisgah will be as soon as possible at the 111.
What was the first year you did the King and Queen of Pisgah series?
I'm thinking it was 2013.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I worked at Industry 9 at the time mm-hmm. and had a lot to do with manufacturing those belt buckles.
Oh, nice.
In
yeah.
the early days.
Yeah,
so,
that was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun project to be a part of. And starting off with, it's the Bootlegger, right?
Right, yeah, the Bootlegger 100. That starts and finishes in Lenoir, North Carolina, just a little bit north of here. There are two route choices for the event. The King of Pisgah, of course, has to do the longer one. There's a 108-mile and a 58-mile course for that one. And the Bootlegger goes all around the Wilson's Creek Gorge. It's absolutely beautiful
yeah,
out there.
It is. It's a very cool spot in the state that I think a lot of cyclists probably know about, but still very few make it out there.
Right. And that's on April 22nd.
So kicking it off in the spring. And then, what is it, 2 weeks later?
Yeah, just 2 weeks later is Pin Bar.
Uh-huh.
And so if anyone wants to get into the King of Pisgah series, you have to be in Pin Bar also. But Pin Bar is probably going to sell out pretty quick once it goes on sale in February. And so if anyone's interested in this whole series thing, try to get in before February.
For sure.
Yeah.
Then after that, the youth event, the Gateway youth event, that's June 3rd.
Right. That, of course, is not a part of the King of Pisgah.
Right.
But we have a new event coming up. At the Gateway Trails in Old Fort, brand new trails. The groundbreaking was just a year ago, and,
right.
and they're, you know, getting bedded in really good. They're, you know, they're fun, flowy trails.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be based off of the NICA model.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're hoping to get as many kids and parents out there as possible. We can have 300 people out there, so it'd be great.
Right on.
Yeah.
And so back into the King, Queen of Pisgah series, you got the Pisgah Enduro.
Yep.
August 19th and 20th.
Yeah, Pisgah Enduro, as I was saying, that one's at Camp Greer, and it's 2 days of Enduro racing, you know, Heartbreak Ridge both times. it's a hell of a day. You have to, you know, hike all the way to the top and then turn around and bomb back down. But again, it's a summer camp at the venue. And so there's camping, there's bunk houses, there's a pool, a lake, you know, there's a pump track, lots of stuff to do, you know, on that Saturday in between events.
Again, making the event the whole weekend and not just the event itself, you know, it's keeping that community thing going with it.
Yeah, that's in August. That's August 19th, 20th.
Right on. So that'll be there towards the end of the summer. Then you got in September, September 16th is Monster Cross.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, how many years has that been going on now?
Yeah, I think it was either 2011 or 2012 when we started that one, too. There was a whole bunch right about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the current course, it's out in Pisgah proper. But it also crosses over 215 and goes over into the Nantahala National Forest as well.
Yeah.
Only one route, only one distance, and it's 72 miles, 8,700 feet of climbing.
That was the first, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first gravel grinding event in Western North Carolina.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I could be wrong about it.
I'm not positive.
I can't say for sure, but I feel like that was one of the first, and I was racing cyclocross at the time, so I felt like this was a great time to, like, you know, when you're doing these short, intense efforts to go out and do something endurance-y to get your volume back up for training. And then closing it out is the Pisgah 111 and 55.5 on October 7th.
Yeah, that's right. The 111 is the one that's, of course, in the King of Pisgah series, and it's 71 miles, about 11,000 feet of climbing on that one. And then the 55 is not 55K, it's 40 or 39 and a half miles. And so the 55 is also open to runners, ultra runners. If you know anyone that can run almost 40 miles, you know, send them this way.
That sounds like people that don't like fun, Eric.
Yeah, well, it's hard.
Or people with good knees.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that the winners of the 111 on bike, they come in at 7 hours, and the winners of the 55 run also come in right at 7 hours.
Yeah, it's so wild. I can't even put the math or the logistics in my brain that make that compute.
Yeah.
Very cool. So out of these events, these being what makes up the series, and obviously got the new one in there that we just mentioned for the youth event, but out of the Bootlegger, Pinbar, Enduro, Monster Cross, and the 111, which one, I mean, I think Pinbar's probably the fan favorite, but which one for you, like, which one is, you know, at the end of the series, you're like, man, that was great.
Let's see, I mean, you know, how do you pick your favorite child?
Whichever one didn't make you upset the most recently.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The 111 has had some really, really tight racing in the past. And, you know, again, once those fast guys showed up and started doing that, there's been some really, really incredible racing over the years at the 111. And when that actually happens, when there's real racing, you know, I set the stage for it to happen, but there's no way that, you know, I know what's going to happen. And it's the racers that actually put the effort in to make these, you know, incredible days that they're having. The 111, there has been some really tight racing over the years. And so that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I think that most people would know that Sam Kerber is kind of a legendary figure. There's a lot of myth and lore, and hell, it's probably all true.
It's all true.
You know, I've heard rumors that he's ridden every bit of Laurel on the way up without dabbing and stuff like that. And, you know, it's cool that he has had such an impression on some of these events, but I'm not going to lie when I say this, that when he finally got some people that could challenge him in these events, that's what made it exciting.
Well, then racing really, really stepped up, because it wasn't as if there was just, you know, the assumed winner, you know.
Right.
Sam Evans, Dave Wood, Thomas Turner, when those guys started coming around, Nick Bragg, really, racing got really fast. And, you know, not that Sam's, you know, not fast, but there was a little change of the guard there.
Well, not only has Sam, you know, been the fast guy, but he's also been the guy with the knowledge. He knows.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows every inch of all those trails.
Exactly.
And he's known every change to those trails too. You know, like, was he probably twice Nick Bragg's age?
Probably so. Yeah.
And just, you know, the amount of miles and trail knowledge he has. But it is cool to see, you know, these other people up and coming, have you noticed any other up and comers that you think are, you know, a couple years out still, but.
No, I wouldn't really want to speculate.
Yeah, no. That's fair.
Yeah.
That also is fair. The last lingering questions I'm going to have are, we've got these events on the schedule here. Do you have a weather policy for any particular ones, or is it the same thing for all of them? I know Pisgah is a unique beast in that you can't necessarily shut down the trails because of weather, but there are, you know, maybe some extenuating circumstances that will happen certain times of year.
Weather calls are just made on common sense. We don't have, if there's a certain number of inches of rain or anything like that, really, if it's likely that the trails are going to get damaged, and if it's likely that nobody's going to have any fun, then those are the two main criteria. We moved the 111 this past year, and the hurricane didn't materialize. But on Tuesday, it had the hurricane directly on top of us on Saturday. Uh-huh. And pulling the plug was the best thing to do. The forest, they closed down the forest on the Wednesday in anticipation. But of course, the storm just didn't materialize. When that forecast is dangerous, or it is really a chance that, again, people are going to have, nobody's going to have any fun. and the trails are going to get damaged. And
you're going to have to buy new brake pads.
Right. Or if the, you know, 1 year, we postponed the enduro because the mountain had slid off the mountain. Right. You know, but you can't really put that as a condition, you know, because that just makes sense. Of course, if the mountains, you know, and really that year, the real reason, like, and when it came down to it, it was EMS who were so busy with everything that was going on in the county that they just couldn't, you know, provide support, you know? And so if there's any time that mitigation afterwards is going to be too much, or there's a hole in the operating plan because of like EMS or, you know, something like that, those are the reasons that we would move it. Right. And then we just reschedule for as soon as possible. But, you know, if it's like this today, it's going to be like that tomorrow too. You know?
Right.
So we never move it over just one day, or even, you know, knowing like what's a week away, then it's just, you know, pleading with the landowners and the various agencies to, you know, can we move it 2 weeks, you know, or whatever.
And luckily now you have people that can help you with that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
make it part of their problem. So yeah, I like that. I think that's super fair. I don't think that, even though we can do some of these events in bad weather, I don't always think we should.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And it'd also be disrespectful to a lot of the people that have put the effort into building and recreating and rerouting some of these trails in the past few years as well, you know, including what brand new trails like at the Gateway. So,
right.
Very cool. Well, Eric, I really appreciate you talking with me about all this stuff. And
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
But let everybody listening know where they can go to find you on social media or your events.
PisgahProductions.com. And hashtag Pisgah Productions.
Very cool. Yep. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, Pisgah Productions has just been one of those just Pisgah staples. You know, it's just always been around. You know what to expect. The enduros have always been cool. I've actually never raced one. The one I was going to race, I'd actually broke my wrist ahead of time, but I still went out and hung out and shot photos and had a good time. But yeah, it's cool to see the King and Queen of Pisgah back again.
Yeah, it's an excellent race series. I mean, ever since I moved to town, Pinbar was still pretty young when I first moved to town, but I knew about it when I lived in Charlotte. And, you know, he also mentions the Charlotte connection there. Solid group of endurance riders. It's just one of those kind of things that you know what happens, and two things come from that. You either want to be a part of it and do whatever you can to be a part of it, or you want to know as little about it as possible because it sounds painful.
Or you want to hear all the stories from it.
And those are great. I've heard some excellent ones, and I've witnessed some excellent ones, and I'm not even going to tell my Pinbar story here because some friends of the show like Tyler West and Eric White and John Fennell might give me shit.
There was a name mentioned actually a couple of times from Eric, and I want to hear more of that name. Maybe along the starting lineup of all the King of Pisgah races?
Yeah. Who are you talking about there?
That'd be a Nick Bragg. Heard Nick Bragg's name at least twice. Who? Nick is a prior King of Pisgah. And I'd like to see him with that belt buckle again.
Well, Nick, I think you've got your work cut out for you, brother.
Yeah, I've already poked him in the text message a couple of times, so we'll see what happens.
All right, well, I'm going to look forward to that, too. So, weather's been up and down, back and forth. I don't think we've said freeze-thaw yet in 2023, so I'm throwing that one on the ground. But what is the forecast looking like?
Well, this past weekend, we definitely had a good cold snap going into the weekend, which led to some freeze-thaw this past weekend. I experienced a good amount of it out in DuPont, which I thought I was still in the frozen era, but I guess I wasn't. But, you know, it happens, and that's something that we know happens. We hear all about it. We've had many guests on our show talk about it. And going into this next week, it's like early spring to wintertime temperatures. Like, I see all the things on the forecast right now. I see sun. I see some potential snow. I see below freezing temperatures. I see sunshines, all this stuff. So first part of the end of this week, going into the weekend, we're seeing some warmer temperatures, but it looks like it's going to drop down some this weekend. Saturday looks to be like a pretty good day to ride. It's going to be a little chilly in the morning, so some of those dark hollers that don't get a lot of sun probably going to have some crispy spots in them. Sunday, cooling off a good bit with some rain. Monday, I'm seeing some potential snow showers and rain and chilliness. And then next week is like partly cloudy one day, showers the next day, then partly cloudy, then showers. So it's like one of those things where it's not the best time to be riding bikes, but, you know, you can find your windows to definitely hit some gravel. Next Wednesday does not look like a good gravel day for the Gravello crew, but, you know, find your times and jump on the horse.
Well, that's as ambiguous as I could have possibly imagined. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Well, guys, that is a wrap on this week's episode. And as always, you can find us on social media. Just search Pisgah Podcast. And we've got our web store going with t-shirts, water bottles, koozies, magnets, buttons, all the fun stuff. And one thing that we don't talk about a lot much is how we include a nice little sticker pack with all orders of a bunch of local companies that are mountain bike focused. So support all your local people. Rep the stuff, and you can order stuff online at pisgahpodcast.bigcartel.com.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, if there's other local companies and whatnot, people that put on events, people selling anything, bike shops, whatever, send us your decals. We're going to put those in our merch kits that we send out to our customers so that we can let them know that you guys support us while they're supporting us, and it makes us all more part of that community, and that's what we're trying to build here at the Pisgah Podcast.
Exactly.
So if you have ever finished on time but didn't get that extra credit checkpoint, then sign up for PIMBAR. Click subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Old episodes are being updated as we speak. Buy some Pisgah Podcast merch to support the show, because we do this free for you guys.
That is right.
People all the time ask, hey, how can we support you guys? That's how. Buy a shirt. Show people the show.
Yep. Well, Drew, do I get to see you ride a new bike this week?
All right. Bike day.
I'll see you in the woods.
Check my Instagram. You'll see what it is.